This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Let's go to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline from the Rose Rotation, the NFL Network. Mr. Chris Rose joins us. Hello, sir.
Hello, guys. It's nice that there's somebody finally on here that can talk about the Browns. Daryl, welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Good to talk to you, my friend.
You too.
Do you want to tell him or do you want me to tell him, Daryl?
You can tell him.
Daryl has no desire to talk football today, Chris. None.
Wow. Okay. All right, you guys have a good weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
So the running bit on the show today, Chris, has been that I've been ecstatic that we have been able to have 3 hours of Cavaliers and Guardians conversation without bringing up the Browns.
Wow. Okay. All right. Interesting.
What would you like to know, Chris? I'm here for you.
And vice versa.
I love football as much as anybody. I love the Browns probably more than anybody. But here's the one thing that drives me nuts. God, he looks great. He looked great in.
Oh, he did, though. Shorts. Oh, he did. Oh, Deshaun's out there
awesome.
Dropping dimes to guys.
Yeah, but there's still plenty to, I don't know. I think they're a pretty complete team going into this thing. The D-Hop stuff could be very interesting if that ends up working out for them. Other than that, as long as we feel like we've got a guy that can play in the slot defensively, I like what we did this offseason. And that's that. I feel good about them for the most part.
Well, they do look good on the practice field once again. They're killing it in spring practice. I really like Bubba Ventrone, and he and I see eye to eye. He hates the new kickoff rule. He is upset about it, as I am. And I really like Jim Schwartz. The candor, he's not out there trying to hide state secrets. He's like, yeah, you know, we might throw some 3 safeties out there. We're going to go 8-9 deep on the defensive line there. We're going to rotate those guys in and out. Offensive linemen can't rotate in and out, but we can. We're going to keep throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastballs. That's the only thing. That guy uses more baseball analogies than I think baseball analysts around the country combined when talking about his defense. It's fantastic.
Yes, he does. And he is very confident in his abilities. And why not? I mean, his defenses over the years have been top-notch, and in some cases, Super Bowl winning. And so I'm really excited to see what his variation of defense looks like this year, because – last year, I was extremely disappointed. I was way off base, both Joe Thomas and I, when we were in the preseason booth, and we weren't saying it just because, you know, we're doing the Browns games. We both felt like that was the side of the football that was going to have to win them a bunch of games while Jacoby Brissett was the quarterback. And if you had told me that Brissett would have played the way that he did those first 3 months, that this team could have been 7-4. If the defense had just shown up a little bit, I was shocked and really disappointed that it went the way that it did. But I am hopeful with new leadership on that side of the football, and hopefully a refocused group on that side, that it will keep them, because they're going to need to be ready to go those first 6 weeks, man.
Chris, you mentioned DeAndre Hopkins. What are you hearing?
I don't know. I hear what everybody else hears.
Oh, come on, man. You work for the NFL Network. You hear more than we hear.
No.
Oh,
that doesn't
shame,
mean
man.
Anything.
That's a shame.
When it comes to that, we don't, we know as much as anybody else when it comes to this right now. I don't know. Do people want him? Or are they begging and pleading for him or not?
No, but not begging and pleading. But I think if people are objectively looking at it, they think, yeah, he'd be a real nice addition to that group. And I think Chris would finish it off. You know, I think right now it needs another veteran who's been there, done that at a pretty high level. But those are tough to find. You know, so we'll see. I wouldn't want to pay him like he probably would like to get paid.
Which means he's not going to come here then.
Probably so. But
right.
Chris, I wonder, do you think another team will?
Pay him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, let's look at it this way. Odell got 15, and he didn't play last year.
Yep.
And they're basically the same age.
And Hopkins has a healthier history, even though he's had some issues too.
And listen, I like Odell. I really do. I think he's, you know, the first few years of his career, he was exceptional. But I can't say that he's not a top 20 receiver in the NFL. He's not a top 25 receiver in the NFL, I don't think. I think D-Hop still fits in that category quite nicely.
How hot is the seat that Kevin Stefanski's sitting on going into the season, do you think?
Well, I here's what I don't want to see. If we're 2-3 after five games, right? San Francisco's game five, right? Because we got the bye early.
Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Which, by the way, is okay. I do think that's how they're going to start. I have them starting slow and finishing strong to make the playoffs. That's my prediction.
Well, that's the thing. I don't want people to panic. Teams don't make the playoffs when they get rid of coaches midseason. It just doesn't happen. So let's let this thing play out into its entirety. When they made the trade for Deshaun Watson, that should have bought this coaching staff and this regime all the way through this year, all the way, in my opinion. I also know that Kevin Stefanski can coach football. Did Jacoby Brissett look that good at any point in his career, even when he played for the New England Patriots, who have the greatest coaching staff ever known to man? Did he ever look as good as he did during those 11 games?
I would say no.
No, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. You can say it because the answer is no. He looked great. That offense, whether you want to look at all sorts of metrics across the board, performed at a very high level. And then the last six games, they have to make an about face for a guy who hadn't played in 2 years and trying to figure that out while trying to win games and maybe sneak in as a wild card. Well, it didn't happen. And it might not happen the first 5 weeks, but yes, let this whole thing play out this year. And then after that, let's all sit down and figure out if we feel like it's pointed in the right direction. Because we know as Cleveland fans better than anybody else that change ain't always a good thing. And these have been, in my opinion, some extenuating circumstances for Kevin Stefanski and his staff. Has it been ideal? No. But he just changed 67% of his coordinators. Not a lot of guys do that.
Chris, let me add to what you just said, because I agree with you on that. He came up with an offense that made Baker Mayfield look really, really good for a period of time. And then Baker wasn't very good in Carolina. That didn't work. And then went to the Rams, and though he had a couple of hot games, they didn't keep him around, and now maybe he's able to salvage things in Tampa. He made Jacoby Brissett look better than he's ever looked before. That's why I'm confident that, especially with the full offseason and having Deshaun as the guy the whole way, I'm really confident that Kevin can come up with an offense that really makes it work for Deshaun Watson.
Me too. I love the Elijah Moore trade. I loved him coming out of college. I don't know what happened with the Jets last year, but I've talked to people there who said the whole thing where he went away from the team and wanted the trade, that he's not a bad kid at all. They said this sort of stuff, just it happens sometimes, and there was probably mishandling from both sides on that case. But he is a talented kid. He's really, really talented. And I look at the offense as a whole, it's really good. It looks really good, and the only question is, can number 4 get back to what he was in Houston? If he does, then we're talking great things come December and January. And if he doesn't, then we're talking about where's the future of this organization. I hate to boil it down to one person, but to me, it is that simple. Not whether or not our two guards play great, because I think they will. Whether or not that guy gets it done.
Does Myles Garrett have to be a leader, or are we just putting too much on him, expecting because he's one of the better defensive players and because of what he makes that we just all assume he has to be a leader?
Yeah, I don't think that's fair. I mean, Daryl, you've been around long enough to know that guys, they love being led, right? They're natural leaders. And then there are guys who are phonies. And there are guys who the fans think either are leaders and aren't, or should be leaders and aren't. And I don't think it's fair to put that on people. You are who you are. Like, Myles Garrett gets a sack a game. That's what he averages, basically, in his career. That's what we're looking at, certainly over the last couple of years. And that should be good enough. So if Anthony Walker's your leader, so be it. If it's somebody else on that defense, that's fine. But I don't ever think that based on what you get paid, that automatically makes you a leader. Quarterback's a different position, right? Quarterback, hard to kind of take a back seat there. But, you know, do we need him to be Ray Lewis? I don't know if that's quite fair.
Chris Rose joins us. Hey, Chris, I want to switch gears with you real quick because I have a question I'm dying to ask, especially because of your baseball expertise. Do you happen to know anybody that has a young, up-and-coming, power-hitting first baseman and outfielder that we could get for Shane Bieber?
Yeah.
Well, I think that there are three teams that kind of fit what we would want in return, in my opinion.
I'm getting a pen.
The Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Orioles, I think, are three teams that need pitching and that also could probably meet what we would need to get in return. I just had a big argument with Trevor Plouffe. He's the guy, former Minnesota Twin. He and I do a daily podcast called Baseball Today. And we just discussed this about he thinks that if we trade Bieber, that we're throwing away the season, we're punting. I disagree. I just don't feel that way. Now, it's a very thin needle to thread. Very thin. But I think they can do it. They get Savali back, who can give them some innings as long as he's healthy. And they get Tristan back on Sunday. And I know it's hard to rely on guys like Bivey and Allen a full year. Have those guys make up 40% of your starting rotation for a team that has dreams of winning a division. I know that's a big ask, but I believe in them. I really believe in them, and I believe in the organization's ability to develop those guys. So getting rid of Bieber, yeah, you need guys that can contribute right now. You'd have to get at least somebody you can plug into this lineup somewhere. But I'll tell you this, one other thing. Gabriel Arias should be playing shortstop every day.
Give it time.
That's
right?
My opinion.
Give it time.
That's my opinion.
Might happen.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to eat the money. And I know that Ahmed Rosario means a lot to that clubhouse. I am not diminishing that in the least bit. But that guy's hands are awesome, and I've seen him give some good at bats. I know his numbers aren't great, but if you watch his at bats, Arias, the more at bats he's getting, the more he looks like a major league player to me. So I just don't want to see us screw that up either.
And he can hit it hard, Chris, which is a
nice
plus.
Yeah, he can. I mean, that ball he hit in Baltimore was awesome.
Thank you, buddy. Always great to have you with us.
You got it. Daryl's nice chatting with you. Not that it isn't with you, Jeb. I mean, it's always nice.
Thank you, Chris. Well, Daryl's kind of like our special guest today.
All right, I'll see you out at camp, hopefully, at some point.
All right, buddy.
Look forward to it, Chris.
Chris Rose.
Guys, thank you.
Rose Rotation, NFL Network, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
I did that for Chris, not for you. I want that on the record.
Which one?
Browns. Did that for Chris.
Yeah.
I had like 8 Guardians questions for him, so I had to pick the fastball. Yeah.
All right.
The high heater.
Will we talk Browns? Will we talk Guardians coming up next? I think that's the best tease I've ever had. It's Daryl Ryder. I know what he wants to talk.
Oh, no.
Will we let him?
Oh, no. It was this next segment's going to depress you, and that's coming up next on The Fan. That was your best tease ever.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's Baskin and Phelps, D and me, here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Chris mentioned a couple of teams for Shane Bieber. And we're going to get into that in just a second here. First of all, what's up there on the Twitter, Miss Kane?
So before the break, you asked, are we going to go Browns or are we going to go Guardians here? And lucky for Daryl Ryder, up on the Twitter, we've got some Guardians questions. And as always, Twitter reactions powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always tweet the show at CLE Talking Heads. So when you guys were talking about trading Bieber, we've got Charles tweeting at us saying, if this trade happens, who is the ace and what is the rotation?
Tristan McKenzie's the ace.
Do you need an ace? Or do you just need five guys who can go start?
No, you need an ace. Tristan McKenzie, I project him, is to be the ace. And then...
For now.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, when I'm looking at, big picture here.
McKenzie, Logan Allen, Tanner Bibee, right?
Mm-hmm.
Savali, for now.
Yep, for now.
And who else do you want? I mean, you've got several opportunities there. Quantrill, once he's healthy.
Once he's healthy again.
And bring him back.
Right now.
Hunter Gaddis could be.
Battenfield could be in the mix. Could be in the mix.
Gavin Williams could be here by July. The way he's pitching in AAA.
And you need that type of depth in case you have situations that have arisen out of the gate to start this season, right? I mean, I don't think anyone went into Guardian season this year in spring training, Jeff, and was like, we're going to have 3/5 of the rotation come from Columbus.
Mm-hmm. We just laid out a pretty good rotation, and it didn't include Shane Bieber.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, and before we do that, Sal is in Highland Heights. He's been hanging on patiently. Hi, Sal.
Hi, guys. I want to talk about the Guardians, but as far as the Browns, I mean, with all the new guys on offense, they're going to lead the league in penalties until about the fifth game. With offsides, illegal, you know that's going to happen.
Well, so, I'm going to tell you right now, they're probably going to lead the league in penalties just because of Deshaun Watson, because there's going to be more holding penalties, there's going to be more illegal men downfield penalties, because they are going to be dealing with a quarterback that can extend plays, and what you call that is just the cost of doing business, because he's, at least I expect him to be so good that, okay, if they're in 2nd and 15 or 2nd and 20, it's not a big deal because he can make that up in one throw down the field. So,
well, you're absolutely right. You throw in all the new receivers in the receiver room, as they like to call it, and you're going to have a mess till about midseason. But anyway, may I talk about the Guardians?
Please do.
Yeah, I think we got to get rid of Bieber, and I tell you, we blew it big time not getting Sean Murphy. We needed a catcher. Everybody knows the story on that. He's hitting .286 with 11 home runs. The Braves signed him up for 5 years, and we have what we have. How about, we thought a guy 10 years ago, Nelson Cruz, was too old. And he's still hitting for the Padres and hitting about .240. But I'd like to get Paul Goldschmidt. What do you think?
Well, they got Bo Naylor waiting in the wings. And that's...
Well, but Bo's going to catch. Goldschmidt's... Yeah. They thought he was done in Arizona, Sal. And then he goes to St. Louis, and he's been terrific.
He has been terrific. Yeah. So give him Bieber, and let's take Goldschmidt. I mean, and then one of you guys made the comment about payroll. Well, we had the fourth lowest payroll, but we have one of the top four or five owners as far as Fortune magazine, Sports Brief. I mean, Dolans are worth $5.5 billion, and they're way above the average for Major League Baseball owners. Let's spend some of that money, and let's quit having this team be the land of almost.
Sal, thank you. I think that includes Charles.
I was going to say that there are different branches of the family here, number one. Number two, let's give the Guardians some credit here. They're not run like the Pittsburgh Pirates, okay? Pirates have the same issues the Guardians have. And you look at what's going on in Pittsburgh and the results there.
It's a different deal.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the time that Francona has been managing this team, they've been competitive. They've only had one season below 500, and that was a retool season. And they've been able to retool this thing on the fly with a lot of youth infused, and they've been competitive. Yeah, the first couple months here, a little frustrating. The offense is in the tank. It's not producing consistently. Guys are struggling to hit their weight. There's no power. I get it. Pitching's been pretty good. They've got some prospects down on the farm that are waiting in the wings. You know, they're close. They're not far off. So I get it. It's been since 48 that the Guardians, you know, that organization's won a World Series and all that, but they're for the constraints that they have to deal with, Jeff, they're competitive year in and year out, and they're close. Like they are not that far off. And I last year got the itch back for a lot of fans. I understand it. But to your point, when we were talking about the Cavaliers earlier, I think patience is going to be very, very important for fans when it comes to where the Guardians are at right now, because they are close.
Chris mentioned a couple of organizations, and he's out in Los Angeles. He mentioned the Dodgers. Quick check of MLB's top prospects. Call up the Dodger page. What do the Dodgers have at the top of their prospect list? A catcher. We don't need a catcher. What's next? Bobby Miller, who's up in the majors now and doing well as a right-handed pitcher. Michael Busch, outfielder, second baseman, power hitter, left-handed hitter, 6'1", 210. Then two more right-handed pitchers. And then a guy whose name is spelled Pages, but I think it's pronounced Pajes. He's from Cuba. First name, Andy. He's 22. He's a power hitter. So that's what Chris is talking about. They have prospects who fit the needs of the Guardians. He also mentioned a couple of other teams. He mentioned the Diamondbacks. He mentioned the Orioles. I would think, knowing our organization, last thing you'd probably want to do, if you could avoid it, is trade Shane Bieber in the American League. You certainly wouldn't want to trade him in the division, but if you know you could trade him somewhere else, want to? And he mentioned Arizona. So I wouldn't think Orioles would be the team, but you never know. He mentioned the Diamondbacks. Remember they drafted Drew Jones, was it first or second? Now he's only an A ball.
Yeah.
So he's a long ways away. But and they have young outfielders in the majors right now. Carroll's there. You know, maybe there are guys available. If you can bring in guys who could, you know, let's say you made a trade with the Dodgers. You pick up one of those right-handed pitchers. Why? Because you can.
Right.
And you pick up, let's just say, one of those two outfielders who you think are close to Major League ready. In fact, Michael Busch is up in, I think he's either in the majors right now or has been. Last year in AA and AAA, hit 32 home runs, drove in 108.
Well, there's a reason I smiled when Chris mentioned the Dodgers.
And
because they're very good when it comes to drafting and developing hitters. And their trades, the trades the Dodgers tend to make, similar to the Guardians, works out for both sides. Both sides ultimately end up happening.
Dodgers are that terrible combination that for a team that are like ours.
Right.
Because they develop and they can pay big money for free agents.
I'm not necessarily comfortable with Arizona that much. Yeah. And I certainly am not comfortable with the Baltimore Orioles. Now, I realize the Orioles right now, where they're at, are similar to where the Guardians are at. Relatively young organization. Got some talent in their minor leagues. They're on that fringe of ready to win, right? A lot of parallels between Baltimore and Cleveland right now when you talk about baseball. But when Chris said the Dodgers, I got real, real happy because of their track record when it comes to young talent.
The Orioles happen to have 8 of the top 100 prospects in Major League Baseball.
But again, they're not a team that's going to trade for Shane Bieber.
I agree with you on that.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I the Dodgers, they're a team that would trade for Shane Bieber, 100%.
And their top 4 prospects, the Orioles, all position players.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see the Dodgers. You could pry one of those right-handed pitchers away because you can.
Yeah.
And you pick up a couple of outfielders. Done. I mean, that I get it. That kind of trade makes sense. And you're the Dodgers. You're probably blocking guys who are Major League ready because you already have the talent on the Major League roster.
100%. And that's, like I said, got them circled.
Yeah. And you probably should.
So, Chris, send the scouts to L.A.
How vital is this series against
To California, I should say.
How vital is this series against Minnesota? Not because you're trying to catch the Twins in the division. And
well, you are trying to catch them.
No, I know, but not because of that. Because Savali goes tonight and McKenzie goes on Sunday.
Well,
is it vital, or is it it's their first start?
Because I'm confident that they're going to be fine.
Okay.
I'm confident they're going to be fine. The reason, and I know you were trying to say that it is because they're chasing Minnesota. That's why it's vital. And there's one less series you're going to be playing against the Twins with this new schedule realignment that Major League Baseball has done, which, by the way, I love. I got a massive tip of the ball cap to Rob Manfred, who I have been absolutely dunking on for years with him as commissioner. He got it right this year. The new schedule, I like it. You get to see teams that you don't normally get to see more often now. The pitch clock, phenomenal addition to the game. Get a lot of the downtime, the nonsense time, get that out of the game. I still hate the ghost runner or the starting runner on second and extra innings.
Yeah,
but the whole goal of the bid is basically you want to end the games. You want to get these things over with, want to declare a winner. And listen, I'm not going to miss 18-inning marathons. I will never miss 18-inning marathons that we used to see. So Manfred's gotten it right. I got to give him credit where credit's due because, again, I've been very critical of him over the years. But this series for the Guardians is important, most importantly, because they're chasing the Twins. And they got to get it together. We're in June now. And this is... You can't go into July, the heart of the summer, right? You can't go into the dog days thinking in the back of your head, well, we're a 15-game winning streak from taking things over. You can't count on that. And the Guardians historically have done that, where they get really super hot the end of July, mid to the end of July and in August, and they just start ripping off wins, right? You can't count on that. So it's important, Jeff, that they at worst split with the Twins. They get 2, and they're no worse for the wear from that series, and then it becomes a successful road trip for them because you won the first 2 series, split the third, come home for Boston. That's what's important is you get out of Minnesota 2-2. If you can get 3-1, great. That means you got to win the next 3. I don't necessarily think that's going to happen, but I'm not worried about Savale. I'm not really worried about McKenzie. I'm curious how they throw, right? And you're not going to overextend either one of them this weekend because you got to look at the big picture there. But just get out of Minnesota with a split.
He's our Browns beat reporter. He's Daryl Ryder, along with other duties here at the station. He covers a lot of things, but he's our Browns beat reporter. We've made it through the entire show without doing a self-enclosed Brown segment here. Will that continue with one segment to go? It's Baskin and Phelps with Daryl and for Andy here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.